Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Hallelujah. So, humility that we are going to talk about is in two main types. We have the kingdom version of humility, you know. We have the kingdom version of these character traits. So sometimes you see it in unbelievers. Sometimes don't you see love in unbelievers? And the love even looks like agape. Sometimes don't you see righteousness in unbelievers? Yes. Some of them, the way they talk, the way their demeanor is, the way they don't use bad words. In fact, when you see them for the first time, you think that they are believers, that these are righteous souls. But you get close to them, they will tell you that I don't believe in God. Jesus is nothing to me. Then what were you seeing? You know, you can see some traits that, in fact, it looks just like the type that Christians bear. So you wonder, are they believers? I mean, that's the confusion of the wheat and tares, because the devil always tries to mimic the thing, you know, so that you cannot really see the difference. When you cannot see the difference, you see, you would think that you have kingdom humility, whereas the humility you have as a believer is not the kingdom type. That is why you can be in the kingdom of God, claim that you are born again, but not bear the fruit of the kingdom, be bearing religious fruit, you know. That is why kingdom fruits is important for us to understand kingdom fruit. Let me show you the main feature of the kingdom character trait. The main feature is that it is based on and promoted by the person, the principles, and the performance of our dearest Lord Jesus. That's the main characteristic. If you take a character like righteousness, you know, you have to ask yourself, does this righteousness that I'm seeing, this guy who claims that he's the holiest person, does he promote the person, the principles, and the performance of Jesus? By the performance of Jesus, I'm talking about his sinless life for us on our behalf and his death on the cross on our behalf. Does he promote that? If he doesn't promote that, the person of Jesus, the principles of Jesus, and the performance of Jesus, it looks like it's righteousness, but it's not. It looks like it's love, but it's not. It's not the kingdom type. It's not the kingdom type. Hallelujah. So everything, every fruit of the kingdom will lead you to the King of the kingdom, who is the tree of life, who actually bears this fruit. And we, because he is in us, we have his life in us, we are able to also bear that fruit. It must always lead you to him. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. God is going to do marvelous things if the church learns to bring Jesus Christ to the center of his life. There will be great blessing, like Obed-Edom experienced when he brought the ark. Because the ark, ladies and gentlemen, is not just talking about a piece of furniture. He's actually talking about the Lord Jesus. Anywhere you read about in the ark, and the ark brought blessings and all that, ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about Jesus. He is our ark of the covenant. He is the one who is the real presence and image of God, who brought God down on this earth. Not any of the prophets, not any of them. They are not in his class. They are not in his class. When I say that, I'm not trying to put them down. No, I am trying to exalt my dearest Jesus. Just as God said, this is Moses, this is Elijah. Listen to my son. Listen to him. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Jesus is in his own class. And when we bring him to our homes, to the middle of our lives, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to, everybody will see that because of Jesus' presence, blessings is coming all over. Hallelujah. It's important to talk about this kingdom humility, because it is possible for you to have kingdom humility and not think that you have it. Yeah. On the other hand, it is possible for you not to have it and think that you have it. So it's powerful, isn't it? Because some of you have it, but you don't think you have it. And so you go about doing some religious kind of humility, you know, and you put down kingdom humility because that's what it doesn't fetch. It doesn't fetch. Let's do the religious one that is more outward, you know, so that everybody will see by maybe your quietness. Oh, look at him. Very, very humble man of God because he's very quiet. Or very humble man because he doesn't talk. If you open his mouth, you see the level of his pride. You know, or maybe he's very shy. He's very evasive, you know, so he is humble. Or maybe he lacks ambition. He's not ambitious, you know. It's like anything that comes his way is okay, sort of, you know. That means that he is humble. You see, we like that type of humility. Because that's the type that the devil will want to promote. That human beings will lout. But there is a kingdom humility I want to talk to you about. Because you have it if you are really born again. You just have to know that this is kingdom humility. This is the character God wants me to bear. And then you focus on it. You focus on it. Hallelujah. Kingdom humility involves, well, I should say first of all, that there is a humility of heart, humility of mind, and action that characterizes anyone who is functioning in the kingdom of God. You can see it in his actions. It's not just something it's in his inside. Of course, it will show outside. In his mind, there is a humility of mind also. And then there is humility of heart. It must characterize us in all these dimensions, in the heart, in the mind, in our actions or physically. Kingdom humility must characterize us. Kingdom humility involves identifying with and taking charge of the feelings of people around you. I will say it again. Kingdom humility involves identifying with and taking charge of the feelings, F-E-I-L-I-N-G-S. People have failed. The feelings of people around you. Our dear Jesus demonstrated kingdom humility when he took personal responsibility for our sins. He did not sin. He did not fail. But he identified with people who failed. And he took responsibility for the failure. He said, "Let the failure be on me. Let their sins be on me." That is the highest level of humility, which I call kingdom humility. It is the humility that Jesus Christ came from the heavenly kingdom to demonstrate on this earth. Hallelujah. So, my brothers and sisters, anytime you see somebody fail, anytime you see somebody going down in shame, somebody not succeeding at something, you have to identify with the person. You don't leave the person alone all by himself. You identify with the person, okay? And you identify in such a way that you even take responsibility for the failure of that person. You see, this is a picture of somebody who is not standing somewhere and judging. Jesus says that the Son of Man did not come to condemn this world. We are a world of failures, but he came to identify with us. He even said in John chapter 12 that if I speak my word to you and you don't take my word, I don't take it personally. And I don't judge you personally. He says that the words that I have spoken, they will judge you in the end. Those words will judge you in the end. But me, you won't get me to judge you. That's what we call kingdom humility. Because kingdom humility aims at correcting people. Correcting a wrong which is there. That is the aim. It aims at correcting a wrong. And you cannot correct a wrong if you are detached. You must always sympathize, that's for want of a better word, with the people who are in wrong. Get close to them and help them to come out of the wrong, you know. So, kingdom humility was demonstrated by our dearest Jesus when he left heaven and he came down and took our sins upon himself. Look at John chapter 13. Before he actually went on the cross, he demonstrated kingdom humility in John chapter 13 when he took his apostles, He took their feet and washed their feet. It's powerful. Jesus washed the dirty feet of his apostles. What was he doing? He was taking personal responsibility for the dirt on their legs or on their feet. That is what humility is about. And Jesus said in verse 13, that you call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. You see that? Jesus Christ, before he shows them kingdom humility, he is telling them his credential. He says that, look, I'm a teacher, I am your Lord. I am your Lord. But, verse 14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I have given you an example in humility, in kingdom humility, that you should do as I have done to you. Ladies and gentlemen, did Jesus Christ wash the feet of his, how should I put this? I want you to understand something, that he came down and washed the feet of his creatures, his disciples. You see that? That's kingdom humility. In kingdom humility, you always come down from your high level. You come down, not to your peers. So you are not dealing with your peers. You are dealing with people who are below you, so to speak. So he takes personal responsibility for the debts on the feet of his disciples. And that is how God wants us to do as his children. In bearing the fruit of the kingdom, God wants his children to take responsibility for things around them. Yes, they may not have been caused by you. They may have been caused by somebody, but you take responsibility for it. You say, well, I am not a president. I am not maybe a minister of state. I am not a chief, traditional chief. I am not any opinion, very powerful person. I don't have positional power. But yet still, you can take responsibility for the failings around. But anytime people are pointing fingers at others, that you are the cause of this, this political party is the cause of this, this pastor is the cause of this, it is this man who didn't do things well, that is why all these things are happening. Anytime you start to blame people around you, especially for their dirty feet, you are not showing kingdom humility. We are not around to do what? To blame people. To point fingers at people, to dissociate ourselves from other people's feelings and point fingers of blame at them. That one is religious humility. Religious humility points fingers of blame. They are the most holy people, and these are the people who are doing the wrong things. They are the most faithful people. Every other person is unfaithful. That is what? Religious humility. But God wants us to wash the feet of one another. Jesus says, I've done this as an example to you. Just as I have gone down to wash your feet, you are my disciples. I am the Lord. You are my disciples. I've washed your feet. You too go down, not washing the feet of your peers, but washing the feet of those who are under you. So a person demonstrating kingdom humility does not dissociate himself from other people's feelings at all. I've said that kingdom humility is not shyness. It is not a lack of ambition. It is not quietness. Actually, it is not serving your superiors well. There are some people who are your superiors, like your father in the house. You are a child. He is your father. If you serve your father well, it is not kingdom humility. It is religious humility. Because he is senior to you, so why not? But in kingdom humility, you are a senior, but you are serving, washing the feet, taking responsibility for those who are below you. Not your peers, but those who are below you. But it's not very attractive, because somehow it looks like, well, if I serve people who are older than me, you see, Mr. T, then I am humble. Mr. T is your father. So if you carry his jacket, that is what you have to do. Especially in our culture. That's not humility at all. That's operating like a normal human being who has not been born again. A religious person somewhere in the world. But if you are born again and you belong to the kingdom, you must bear this brand of humility that Jesus Christ showed by serving those under him. not those who are his age mate. You understand me? Hallelujah. Because if you carry your pastor's Bible, it doesn't mean that you are humble. It's true, because he is the one who is in charge in the church. Yeah, he's the pastor who is in charge. Like your father is in charge at home, he's the one who is in charge in the church. And you take his Bible, you haven't done anything more than normal, ordinary, unregenerated human beings should do. And when you serve those who are under you, you wash their feet, you take responsibility for their failings.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
If we are going to walk in kingdom humility, ladies and gentlemen, this world is going to change. Because one of the results of kingdom humility is inheriting the earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, that blessed are the meek, which is like humility, because they are going to inherit the earth. You know? So it is humility that makes us take charge, influence this earth. Without having to strive and struggle. In fact, it is an inheritance. An inheritance is something that you don't work for, but you receive by virtue of a relationship that you have with the person who got that property, you know. So, it's wonderful that if you are truly born again, the spirit of Jesus, who left his throne in glory and came down, is in you. And you are capable of it. You just have to know that that is kingdom humility. That is the fruit of the kingdom that I must bear. Every day in your life, ask yourself, instead of pointing fingers at black people everywhere, why don't I take responsibility for their failure? Instead of shunning them, disassociating myself from them and running away, you know. When I was in New York, I came across this taxi driver, picked me from the airport. And he was saying a whole lot of things about Ghana. I said, hey, you are very abreast with what is happening. He changed whatever thing that he's using. And he said, this is Adum FM. He's always listening to Adum FM. So he knew everything that was going on. And he kept saying, I love my country. I love my country. And then he did something. And took his, tablet, you know, and showed me the artist's impression of a drawing of a school that he is into, he plans to get into in Accra. I mean, he said that this is it. I love my country. And I was even tired of, but he just wanted to engage me, he wanted to prove to me that although he was in America, yet still his thoughts are with his people. That is a semblance of kingdom humility, if he is a believer. Hallelujah. Because instead of blaming people, if you can get people in church to be like Jesus and take responsibility and pray for people, you know, and do all that we have to do, although we are not responsible directly, I'm sure that we are going to have a different people. We are going to enjoy our people. Because the blaming is too much. It's too much. Similarly, I have come across, when I was outside, I have come across Ghanaians who do not want to have anything to do with the nation. They talk to you as if they went to build Europe and they went to build America. But we know that they just left Ghana 10 years ago. It couldn't be that they built it. Yeah, 2 years ago, and they talk as if, instead of this humility of Jesus, where you take responsibility for the failure of people, they like to dissociate themselves from those people. And they will say, they use terms like that country and your country. I said, look, you just came here. Oh, yeah. If we are going to have people with the humility of Jesus, I believe that we are going to influence this earth better as believers. Instead of pointing, blaming fingers, we are going to help them out of their trouble. Instead of detaching ourselves from them, we identify with them, just as Jesus Christ did with us. And we help people out of their mess. Hallelujah. It's powerful. We have to inherit this kingdom. Look at Revelation 5, verse 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. It says that there stood a lamb as though slain, a lamb as though slain, having seven horns and seven spirits, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Can you imagine that? That a lamb that had been slain, the Greek is talking about butchered, a lamb that has been butchered, that has been maimed. But this lamb, look at the meekness of a lamb, right? And they have butchered him on top. But this lamb had seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the world. So you see a humble picture of a lamb which has been butchered with blood all over, but he is influencing the whole earth with the spirit. With the spirit. Hallelujah. May we take that spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The book of Philippians chapter 2 and then verse 5 to 8. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 8. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There is a humility of mind that I was talking about. That humility must be in your heart. Kingdom humility must be present in your heart, in your mind, and in your actions. Okay, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He didn't claim equality with God, but he came down. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, definite article, the name, which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue. This is the same humility of mind, but influencing. Ladies and gentlemen, we can influence people better with humility than with bossiness. Oh yeah, we can influence people better with humility. We can influence those who are below us better if we serve, if we are humble. We can influence them than to say, well, they are below me, they are all my subordinates and all that. So you begin to talk to them as if they are less than you, less human than you, just because of what? Positional power that you have. Eh? Jesus had no positional power. He wasn't the dean of anything, anywhere. He was not in charge of anything in the synagogue or the temple. He just goes there to worship and he comes out. Now we will tell him, we will say that he is not maybe very serious in the church because he doesn't seem to have any position, you know. But he was influencing because he had personal power. What was his personal power? Humility. By humility, we can reach out and influence more people than with bossiness, than with the way the world goes about things. He said that, look, the rulers of this world, you know how they do it. They exert power over their subordinates, but it shall not be so among you. Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't recognize that this is my leader and all that? No, he's not saying that. He's just talking about an attitude that we must have. That we should not have that kind of attitude that the people with positional power in the world, they have, based upon which they exert rulership over their subordinates. So you can still have the positional power, still be a father at home, still be a mother at home, still be a boss at the workplace, but the way you relate with people is a servant type. Hallelujah. And you know, they respect you more for the service you provide for them. And because of that, they will listen to your word. They will listen to you. In public, they will not show it. Because the world system will not recognize that will not allow them to recognize you. The world system only allows us to recognize the MD, the deputy MD, and the divisional head, and the pastor. You understand? The positional things. That's what the world system will let you recognize. Because if you don't recognize your head, your boss, but in a meeting you recognize somebody who is down there, do you know your boss will be annoyed? Yeah. You say, no, you must mention me. I'm the one in charge here. But we all know that by his attitude, there is somebody who is really running the thing. It's like when King Saul was king and David was anointed and he was just around playing guitar and all that. They told him, even when Saul was king, we know. Israel told David, the elders told him that even when Saul was king, we know that you are the one who was taking Israel in and out. But you were not king. You didn't have any position. But we know that you were the one who was running the thing, you know. So God wants us to bear the kingdom fruit of what? Humility. By focusing on the people below us. Look at the mind of Jesus. He became even subject to death, which is his enemy. Wow. That's the extent that he went. Subject to even death. It's like he was serving death. So death was having a field day, happy. He didn't know that by serving the enemy, you are gaining power over the enemy. By serving the person who doesn't respect you, who doesn't greet you, you are gaining power over the person. The person will not recognize it in public, but when he's asleep, you say, hey, this guy, even when I don't greet him, he still pays homage to me. What kind of person is this? You are influencing the person. Yeah, wonderful. But you see, this kind of humility is not the type that is welcomed by the world. We want the humility where you are very quiet. They ask, do you have anything to say? And you say, I don't have anything to say. And he asks you, what will you drink? And you say, anything. You don't have choice in life. That's not humility. Humility is taking responsibility for what you did not cause. And they putting the blame on you, and you taking it and doing something about it. Now, boss, give me 3 days. I'll rectify the situation. I'll help so and so. We will get it done. Hallelujah. Rather than to sit in your little corner, or should I say your little prideful corner, and pointing fingers. These are the people disturbing the company. These are the people disturbing the church. These are the people who are not faithful. These are the people who are that. This and that. That thing must stop. Let me show you something in the book of 2 Corinthians, even as we end. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 or so. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and then verse 21. Paul is saying, okay, let's back up to 20 for context. It says, therefore, I fear lest when I come, Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, that I fear coming among you. I fear visiting your church, you know. Lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whispering, conceit, tumult. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many. It's not I shall blast many. It's not I shall blast those who have selfish ambition. I shall blast the backbiters. I shall blast the whisperers. I shall blast the conceited people, the jealous people, contentions, fighting among themselves in the church. Says that I fear that when I come, God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many. The sign of humility is mourning for the failed people, for the many who are jealous, who are have selfish ambitions, who are failing, who are backbiting. I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, lewdness, which they have practiced. That's kingdom humility. Paul says that, I fear even visiting this church of Corinth, because when I go, God will humble me. And the sign that I'm humbled is that I will mourn for the people who have failed. I will identify with them, and I will take responsibility for their failure. Hallelujah. God wants us to bear the fruit of the kingdom. You have it. It's not something that you must pray for, that God give me this kind of humility. You don't have to even pray for humility, this kingdom humility. If you are truly born again, you have the tree of life, Jesus Christ is in you, you will just bear it. If you are not bearing it, watch, especially over time. Watch whether you are truly born again, especially over time. Hallelujah. We do not pray for it. Now let's pray now. God, please give us kingdom humility. Lord, please make me humble. Lord, please make me humble. No, you already have it. Once Jesus is in you, once his kingdom is planted in you, you just have to do what? Recognize that this one is a humility that the devil doesn't like. This is not the religious one. This is the kingdom one. And focus on it and practice it every day of your life. Mourn for unbelievers who do not know him. Take responsibility for their sins that they have practiced. That's Jesus' type of humility. Not the humility that blasts people in righteousness. No. God doesn't need your anger to correct anybody. He says that the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. To right things, he doesn't do it in anger. He can correct people in his corrective love without showing annoyance. When he rebuked Peter, said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Was he annoyed? No, he was not annoyed. He doesn't need anger to correct Peter. When he spoke those words in Genesis chapter 3 to Adam and to the woman after the fall, was he annoyed? God was not annoyed. He can correct things without annoyance. When Angel Gabriel said, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. Because you have doubted my words, you will be dumb." Was the angel annoyed? He was not annoyed. There is nothing in the Bible to tell us that he was annoyed. But you see, what we have done over the years is that we read our falling human emotions into God's emotions and say that you cannot rebuke somebody without anger. God does it all the time. He says that, "I have sworn by Jesus' cross, I will never be angry with you again." He's not annoyed with us, but he'll correct us. Hallelujah. That's the correction that goes down well. That's why if you're too annoyed, don't correct your child because you overdo it. Get over the annoyance and correct the child. That one, it goes down better. Because God doesn't need your anger to do any right thing. Your moodiness at home, you don't smile because you are a father. And fathers are not supposed to smile. Otherwise, the children will be. So your home is very moody. God doesn't need your moodiness to raise your children. He can do it with love. Hallelujah. What a beautiful God we have. What a beautiful Savior.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.